Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I told the Sunday school class today that we would be talking a little bit about masonry and stonework and that kind of stuff out of ancient Egypt. I mean, out of ancient Mediterranean area. And there's an old legend that's told of a businessman in ancient Judea who dealt in carved and sculptured stone. He was fortunate to receive a contract, now this is a legend, from Herod the Great, to furnish decorative stone to adorn a lavish new castle that was being built 7 miles southeast of Bethlehem. The Herodian was to be Herod's fortress as well as his tomb. And just so you know, the Herodian is not, I mean, it's a true thing. It's still there. That's the true part of the legend. All the stone was carefully selected. The capitals, you know, those magnificent tops that you see on Roman columns that are holding up the roof. And the columns themselves all were carved and polished near the quarries. And then they were carted several miles to the mountaintop to where the castle was. Now, in the legend, a gifted mason, a stone carver, took long weeks to produce the capital of a column that would stand in the most prominent place in the castle. But when it came time to take the pieces to the Herodian, the workers inadvertently loaded the practice piece on which the sculptor had initially chiseled his designs. Now, it too was beautiful, but it was also rough and unfinished. Now, the businessman thought the mistake would never be noticed, and it didn't really matter. But the mason, he wept. And he said, "My greatest work is for nothing. It was meant for the king. Now it will only crumble into dust in this neglected quarry." Now, the legend goes on to say sometime later that spotting the capital with its hollowed-out top, a shepherd thought of using it as a watering trough for his flocks. So he moved the stone to his stable, which was in Bethlehem. Over time, the capital lost none of its beauty, although it no longer held any special significance. That is until one particular night, when the angels sang outside this particular barn. The town's crowded inn provided no room for a traveling young couple expecting their first child. The innkeeper's stable boy cleaned the old capital and filled it with fresh straw to serve as a crib. At last, it did serve a king. It served the King of Kings. Jesus, come to earth, made a stable into a palace, and made this capital, once left to crumble and be forgotten, found its place as the manger of the Messiah. It held not a royal roof, but God's royal son. Now, oftentimes, Jesus' manger is pictured and thought to have been made of wood, and it may have been. However, you have to remember, wood in that area was scarce, while stone in that region was plentiful and easily cut. A pastor that I knew out in Fair Oaks, California, has visited Israel many times. And he can attest to seeing lots of stone mangers, but he's never seen a wooden one. Now, I know that we're in August, and we have a few months to go before Christmas. And along with the legend, we've sung a Christmas hymn today. But there's a good reason for that, given what is in today's readings. Today, in the gospel lesson, we have the great confession of St. Peter to Jesus, saying, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." What Peter declared is what we sang in the words to the hymn, O come, Emmanuel. When we sang the line, "Until the Son of God appear, rejoice, rejoice. Emmanuel has come to thee, O Israel." And in the manger, the royal Son of God did indeed appear. The King of Kings, the Christ, has come to earth. And we proclaim the joy that is ours in song and word because God has kept his promise from of old. Look at the Old Testament lesson from today. Through the prophet Isaiah, God says, "Look to the rock from which you were cut, and to the quarry from which you were hewn." And then he makes reference to Abraham and Sarah, the mother and father of all who trust in God and his promises. Just as God called the people of Israel through Isaiah to remember their beginnings, the quarry from which they were cut, so we too are reminded today of the quarry from which we come. We come from the confession of St. Peter. And that confession to Jesus is, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus is the one who forms us from the lifeless shape that we were in. He takes us from the sinful nature of death that we were bound under, and by his grace transforms us, like a sculptor doing a bust of himself into the shape of his own life and into the shape of Jesus' own righteousness. For many years, there was a white marble statue of a young man that stood near the front door of a barber shop in Yorkshire, England. The customers used the statue, affectionately known as Fred, as a hat stand. Once in a while, somebody would come up and shake his hand or slap him on the back, something like that. No one paid much attention to Fred. One day, a customer, however, offered to buy it, and the barbershop owner was glad to receive a few $100s for the statue. However, he later felt something of a fool when experts identified Fred as the statue of Frederick Augustus, son of King Edward III. The statue had been carved by a famous sculptor, and it was worth well over $100,000. You have been sculpted also. You have been sculpted by the hand of God into a child of God. And your value has been set as high as is possible. The value of your transformation is the price of the infant King come down to earth, placed in a manger, who died, lifted up on the cross. In the epistle lesson today, St. Paul says, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." We're no longer conformed by our old sinful nature, but in Christ and by him and through his promises and the giving of the Holy Spirit, we are transformed, made new, like that famous sculpture transformed an indistinct chunk of rock into the shape of Frederick Augustus. By the way, you know the name Augustus is Latin for majestic, okay? In Christ, that is what you and I are made. We truly are made majestic. Not because of any other reason than that is what the sculptor himself has made you to be. You have been transformed and made majestic by him and in him and through him. Now, we are told to remember the rock on which we are founded. St. Peter and his confession to Jesus, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And following that confession in the gospel reading, Jesus transforms Simon into a rock. Jesus gives Simon the name Peter, and Petros in Greek means rock. The rock is both he and his confession. That's important to remember. And that rock is what Jesus says that he will build his church on. All that Peter does, everything that Peter does, the rest of his life after Jesus returns to heaven is to build up the church to which we now belong. The church that confesses Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Now, without Jesus being the Son of God, we're just fooling ourselves here. There's no reason to be here. When people lose their identity in Christ, when amnesia about God sets in, people forget that the love of God is for them. Without Jesus being, as Peter declared, the Messiah, we're hopeless. We're lost. But that declaration is what Jesus used to change Simon's name to Peter. Peter and his declaration are what Jesus, who is himself our cornerstone and foundation, that is what he has built his church on, that foundation, that bedrock of foundation. Now, back in 1930, on March 17th, construction began on what was then to be the tallest building at the time ever to be built. It's the Empire State Building. The Empire State Building is 1,250 feet tall. It's 102 stories. And I was there with Matthew a few years ago. It is really something to see. It's something to go up in. And it's really wonderful to do if you ever get the chance. However, it is rather sturdy as well. During a typical storm, it will absorb as many as 20 bolts of lightning. And in July of 1945, there were some very low visibility conditions, and a B-25 Mitchell bomber crashed into the side of the building, and tragically, 11 people were killed, but in truth, it only did minor damage to the building. Now, the reason for the strength of the building is that it's 10 million bricks and 400 tons of stainless steel have literally been embedded into the Manhattan bedrock. Jesus the Christ is the bedrock on which his church is built. And not even the gates of hell can crash against it and prevail. That is the church we are a part of. That's the church that we are baptized into. Jesus is the rock of our faith, the Messiah, the chosen one sent by God to redeem the world from sin. And how? How does he do that? How does Jesus redeem us? He does so by breaking through the stone door that held his body in its tomb after he died on the tree on Golgotha. When he died and his body was buried, it was placed into that tomb of stone and had a huge rock rolled in front of it and sealed closed. Death seems to have won. But behind that sealed door, behind that sealed tomb, behind that sealed rock, death, in fact, was defeated. Life won. Jesus won. Jesus took up his life again, and in that moment, he carved out the defeat of sin and death and the devil. The miracle of resurrection took place behind that rock, which could no longer hold him sealed in. Jesus is the rock of our salvation because he literally broke the barrier of death that held us under its enormous weight. Our sin, our breaking of God's law, put us under the terrifying penalty of death. Think for a moment about the law. Think about how God gave us the law. He presented it to us in stone, didn't he? In the Christmas hymn we just sang, we sing the line, "Who to thy tribes on Sinai's height in ancient times didst give the law." God wrote the law on stone tablets that Moses brought down from the mountain and put into the Ark of the Covenant. And it's that covenant of laws and promises that we broke with our own sinfulness. But Jesus, in turn, broke the hold that death had over us because of our sinfulness. And he is the stone that causes men to stumble and the rock that makes men fall when they refuse to make the same declaration that Peter did in the gospel lesson today. Peter and Paul both quote this Isaiah 14 reference to Jesus as the stone that makes men stumble and a rock that makes men fall. Why? Why is Jesus that stumbling block? Because to believe in Jesus as our Savior requires us to believe that we are sinners, that we are not basically good, that we're not our own saviors. We cannot undo the wrong in our lives by the power of our own hands. No, we are given restoration. We are given life freely only through Jesus Christ. 1 John 5:12 tells us, "He who has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son does not have life." Now, we may be able to cut rock with tools and skill and practice. But think about this like rock. Like rock, once it's been cleaved or carved, that cannot be undone. So also, the sin, the wrongdoing in our lives, we cannot undo for ourselves. We understand and we acknowledge ourselves to be sinners. If we're going to understand, Jesus gives us his righteousness as his gift. He gives us that gift of his righteousness that we need, which becomes then the bedrock of our faith. There is nothing in this world as permanent as the work of God. That includes his law and his gospel. Yes, he gave us the law on tablets of stone, and he writes the gospel on the tablets of each and every heart. He transforms us by that gospel into those who are redeemed of the Lord. The frightening weight of the law no longer oppresses us, nor are we bound under the penalty of death. Jesus has fulfilled the law completely for all of us. And more than that, he has broken the power that death had over us. When he broke free of that stone tomb, he broke us free of the crushing penalty of eternal death. We now have Christ and his love carved into our hearts, which makes us new people together in him. That is what we want people to know is for them. We want that because he is the only one who gives the hope of life eternal. We have that hope because we are his church, built on the foundation that Peter declared. Join with me and say to Jesus that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. In his name we pray. Amen. May the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen.